I kind of thought that when they said that the high school teacher should preach on graduation Sunday that they were probably kidding, but fortunately, I decided to fully embrace that today. So I apologize in advance. If you don't know, my background is that I spent 10 years as an agriculture teacher, and during that time, I mostly taught horticulture, which is plant science, so lots of gardening, and I am a certified plant nerd. There's an actual industry certification out there. I have it. And if you don't believe it, I was kidding. There's not one, but I have a minor in horticulture. I guess that counts. But if you don't believe it now, you probably will at the end of the sermon after I have talked to your ears off about plants. But because I'm a certified plant nerd, I love a good plant analogy. So last week during the whole rooted sermon, I was totally geeking out and taking all the notes. as Pastor Nathan was talking about the importance of being rooted in Jesus and how that enables us to withstand the storms of life. But the Bible's actually full of plant analogies. And I think there's probably two reasons for this. The first reason is I'm pretty sure that if we weren't giving God such a fit all the time and he had like spare time to have a hobby, I think that he would be a gardener. I think he'd be out in his vegetable garden tending his plants, and there's probably no weeds or bugs because it's heaven. That's just how I like to picture him. But probably more likely, we have this Bible full of plant analogies because the people that these Bible stories were written about lived in an agricultural society. Almost everybody grew their own food. They were farmers who were growing and harvesting crops, or they were shepherds who were raising livestock. So these references that especially Jesus made as he was teaching to sowing and planting and growing just made sense to them. He used these analogies to introduce concepts that would have been totally new to these people by relating them to things that they were very, very familiar with. But today, I think we're not maybe as connected to agriculture and to gardening as the people that were in Jesus's original audience were. Just to give you an example, Morgan asked me on Friday night, "What's your sermon about?" And I said, "Pruning." And she kind of looked at me like, "Pruning what?" And I was like, "You know, like plants." And she's like, "Oh, I don't know anything about plants. And my mom kills everything." So I know there's at least two people here that would probably admit that they're maybe not as connected and maybe not as knowledgeable about some of these plant things. Stephanie over here, she's going to be tracking with me the whole time. She's a great plant mom. But because most of us are not as familiar with gardening, I think this is really like thumpy. Take it down like this. Is that better? Can you hear me? Can you still hear me? Nope, too far. Going back. Is that good? Good? Okay. All right. First it was the hair, then it was, okay. Sorry, we're good. But I think that, it's still loud. I'll work on it. I think that because I'm using my teacher voice, that's what it is. I think that because we're not as connected with these gardening concepts and with agriculture anymore, I think that we miss out on some of the meaning. That maybe we've read these passages over and over and over, but because we're not as familiar with these practices, we miss out on some of what Jesus was trying to communicate. So my goal today, I am embracing my inner agriculture teacher. Actually, it's probably like an outer agriculture teacher. I don't really hide it well. And my goal is to help us to develop the lens of a gardener. Because I think that when we look at some of these passages through the lens of a gardener, we develop a deeper understanding and a greater appreciation for what God's trying to teach us and communicate to us. So you are all now in Miss Pack's gardening class. The seniors are like, "No, I'm graduating, let me out." And today we're going to dig into the plant analogy that Jesus uses when he refers to himself as being the true vine and us being the branches. And with this analogy, he's trying to teach us what to expect when we're growing in him. So whether you're a senior in high school or you're a different kind of senior that gets discounts on your coffee when you go out for breakfast, super jealous of you, by the way. Or if you're anywhere in between, I didn't even have to say his name. Or if you're anywhere in between, it doesn't really matter what stage of life you're in. It should be your desire to be growing in Christ, to be growing to become more like him, to become more fruitful. And I believe, I am prayerfully expecting that through this Rooted series that we're all going to experience growth in Christ. So we're going to look at this passage today, and we're going to look at it through the lens of a gardener and see if we can reap some meaning that we might have missed before. And if you're keeping track, I believe that is the second plant pun that I've used so far. So the scripture today, we're going to be in John chapter 15 in the first 8 verses. If you want to turn there with me, you can. It'll also be up on the screens. But just to give you some background, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and these disciples have been with him for the last 2 or 3 years. They have followed him. They have watched him work. They've served and been a part of his ministry. They've learned at his feet, and they have helped him to produce fruit. They have helped to grow the kingdom and bring more followers into the fold. So when we come to this passage in John 15, Jesus is talking to his disciples during what we would call Holy Week. Just a few chapters earlier, Jesus has come into Jerusalem and everybody has welcomed him with open arms. He has washed the disciples' feet, and then as he finishes that, he begins speaking to them because he knows that he's headed for the cross. And for the first time in their lives, they are going to have to grow the church without him. So much like our graduates are getting ready to begin a new chapter, Jesus knows his disciples are getting ready to begin a new chapter too, where they're not going to be able to depend on his physical presence. So he wants them to be prepared. He doesn't want them to back down. They still have to spread the gospel. They still have to grow the church. They still have to build the kingdom. And he wants them to be prepared for anything that they might face that might stop them from doing that. So when we drop in on John 15, chapter 1, he's in the middle of talking to the disciples, and he says to them, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener." See, I told you God was a gardener. It's right there. See it? "He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." So the first thing that Jesus says to the disciples is to be prepared for pruning. And so we might have read over that before and been like, yeah, pruning. But if we understand what pruning is in the world of gardening, this might make a little more sense and be a little more meaningful. So pruning is actually the intentional removal of parts of the plant, and it's done to elicit a specific growth response. So some people just go in and chop the plant off. That's not pruning. That's just murder. When we're pruning, some of you were like, oh, my bad. When we're pruning, we're doing it to elicit a specific response. So we're making cuts to the plant, and it may seem counterproductive. Didn't know you were going to be on the screen, did you? So we're making cuts to the plant, and it may sound counterproductive because we're taking pieces off of the plant to make it grow. It seems like cutting the plant would be killing it. That would be bad. But when we're doing it intentionally, we're doing it with an understanding of how that plant grows and making it grow in a specific way. So this is topiary. Some of you have paid way too much for plants like this from garden centers or to see plants like this that look like gorillas. This is another type of pruning you might have heard of. It's called bonsai. So these little trees that are sitting on tabletops are like 400 years old because they have been meticulously pruned for 400 years to stay small, but they still look full and pretty. It's not dead, and that's why it's not growing. It's been pruned. But then also we have plants like this beautiful crepe myrtle. Whoop, sorry, spoiler alert. We have plants like this beautiful crepe myrtle. Can y'all see? Angle. There we go. All right. That we have all in our landscapes, and it's beautiful right now, but we know that if we don't continue to prune it, it's not going to stay pretty like that. after seasons and seasons of growth, it's eventually going to start to look ugly and stop producing. So we have to prune it. And this is just a public service announcement to so I can keep my plant nerd card. This is how we prune a crepe myrtle. This is not how we prune a crepe myrtle. This, there's an industry term, it's crepe murder. This is crepe murder. Pruning your plants should never make it look like a stump in your yard for the whole winter. So don't do this. That's what that big red circle means. Crepe murder. Bad, okay? But if we don't at least prune that plant back, then we're going to lose some of that beauty and some of that fruitfulness. So in this passage, Jesus mentions two different types of pruning. The first one that he mentions is removal pruning. When he says, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. So if there's a branch on a vine and it's not producing fruit, we have to get rid of that branch. And there's two reasons that we might do that. The first reason is we need to free up resources for the plant. If there's a branch that's there and it's not producing fruit, then that means it's wasting water and nutrients and light and space and airflow that could be helping the rest of the plant be healthy and fruitful. So we're going to cut that off to free up those resources for the rest of the plant. But the other reason is, if it's not producing fruit, more than likely there's something wrong with it. There's some kind of problem with the connection to the vine that's causing it not to produce fruit, and it's going to die anyway. And so by cutting away that branch that's not producing fruit, not only are we preventing damage to the plant because it might break off and damage the rest of the plant when it does, and we're preventing diseases, because when that branch rots, like anything that rots, it's going to attract insects, it's going to cause diseases, and if that spreads to the rest of the plant's going down. So Jesus says, if you are a branch and you're not producing fruit, you're going to be cut off. And last week we kind of talked about some of those reasons that you might not be producing fruit. We talked about lack of commitment, we talked about apathy, we talked about ignorance, which is really what we're trying to prevent with the Rooted series. We want you to know how to be connected to the root. And sometimes I think it's pride that we think, well, I've been to church enough. I've given enough in my tithes and offerings. I was a Sunday school superintendent that one time. Somebody else can step up. They don't need me. I'm good. I've done enough. Jesus says, if you're alive, you should be producing fruit. And if you're not producing fruit, you're going to be cut off from the vine. And later on, he says, you're going to be thrown into the fire. This is exactly what we're trying to prevent with our Rooted series. There's this saying that ag teachers have that if you're green, you're growing. If you're ripe, you rot. The minute that you think there's nothing else that you can do for God, you are ripe and you are rotten. We have to stay green and growing because we know that if we're green and growing, that's the only way we can produce fruit. And so that's another reason that we're really encouraging you to be a part of this series, because this Rooted series, I think, is going to help us all stay green and growing. So the other type of pruning that Jesus talks about, we call heading back. He says, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. So basically with heading back, we take the stem of the plant and we take just the tip of the stem off. So basically, you ready? Okay. I had a really nerdy diagram, and somehow I decided this would be better. I'm not sure that was true. So basically, on the end of every stem, we have a terminal bud. If you were really my students in my high school class, I would make you all have a terminal bud right now, but you're not, so I won't. So every stem has a terminal bud, and that terminal bud produces hormones that makes the plant grow upward. So it's right there on the end. But the stem also has lateral buds. Lateral buds make the plant grow outward and fuller and bushier, but as long as that terminal bud is there, it's the dominant bud, and the plant can't grow out as long as it's there. So in heading back, we come in and we take off that terminal bud, and it allows these lateral buds to grow outward. So the result is, instead of a plant that has a terminal bud, but it's gotten too tall and too leggy and too weak to support the growth of fruit, now we have a plant that's going to grow fuller, it's going to have stronger stems, it's going to be able to support more fruit, ultimately it's going to be able to produce more fruit. Because we've removed that terminal bud and allowed that plant to grow outward. So, practically speaking, nobody's chopping off any body parts here. We're not going to physically prune anybody. That's too much blood. Probably a lot of paperwork. But the pruning of believers means that God is removing things from our lives that are preventing us from being more like Jesus. The word prune in the Greek can also be translated to cleanse. And there's two types of things that I think God wants to prune out of our lives. I think he wants to prune out things that are bad for us, but also the things that are wrong for us. The things that are bad for us probably make sense. That's the one that you probably thought of when I first started about taking things away that make us more like Jesus. Less like Jesus? Yeah, that. Sorry. So the things that are bad for us might be a bad habit. It might be an addiction. It might be a hang-up. It could be an idol. It could be anything that you are putting above God in your life. But I think he also wants to remove things that are wrong for us. Things that in and of themselves are not necessarily bad, but it doesn't mean that it's right for you right now in this season. And when I was thinking about this, I was thinking about Pastor Lisa and Pastor Bernard and the team that went to Kildee. And I asked Pastor Lisa if I could talk about her, but I didn't ask Pastor Bernard, can I talk about you? Okay. I figured I'd get a from Bernard, so. But I was thinking about the team that went to Kildee. And how they were here in the midst of this amazing, wonderful, loving church family. I mean, look at us. We're great, right? And in that season, God called them to Kildee along with that team. And I know that was hard for them. I know that that was a struggle. And it wasn't that we were bad for them. It was just that we weren't what God needed for them in that season. And so they left us for a little while. They went to Kildee, and I think anybody that was here when they got back will say that when they got back, they were stronger, they were more confident, they had more conviction. Not that they didn't have those things before, but God had clearly grown them through that experience. Even though it took taking this church family away from them for a little while, he grew them. He pruned away something that wasn't right for them in that season, not because it was bad, but because he knew exactly what they needed to be able to keep growing. So whether it's bad for us or just wrong for us, if it's keeping us from producing fruit, God will remove it. He'll use this heading back technique and remove that thing. But either way, the result's going to be the same. More growth and more fruit. But I started thinking, why would Jesus warn his disciples about this? Why would he be talking to them about pruning? Why would he be preparing them for this? And I think it's because Jesus knew that pruning can be painful. Pastor Bernard and Pastor Lisa will tell you straight up that it was painful. Kildee was painful for a variety of reasons. And I think that if you've been through a season of pruning, you can probably testify to that too, that sometimes it's just hard to let those things go that have been a part of your life for so long. But I think he knew that it would be painful, and I think he knew that our human instinct is to withdraw from the pain. Our human instinct and our temptation during seasons of pruning is to try to disconnect from what's causing that pain. In our human minds, we think that it's the true vine that's causing that pain, and we try to pull away from that. We try to pull away from Jesus in the seasons when we need him most. But because he created us and because he knows us so well, and he knew that would be our tendency, he says, he wants to nip it in the bud, so he says, sorry, I had to throw that plant pun in there. I couldn't help it. So he says, remain in me as I also remain in you. He says, don't disconnect. When you translate the word remain in this scripture from the Greek, there's another way to say it, and it's to stay connected. So Jesus says, I know that it'll hurt. But I'm going to be with you. I'm going to remain in you. I'm going to stay connected to you if you'll just stay connected to me. Don't disconnect, and I will take care of you. I will provide all the nourishment that you need. I will provide everything that you need, not only to survive, but to thrive. So don't disconnect yourself from the true vine, no matter how tempting it may be. Now, I think that there's some encouragement that we can take to stay connected. And the first thing I think is keeping in mind during these seasons of pruning, when we once pull away from God, I think we have to remember, first of all, that we can trust the gardener. He created us. He knows what makes us grow. He knows what makes us tick and how we work. He's not going to crepe murder you. Do I need to put that picture back up? He's not going to do that to you. He's not going to leave you out there as a stump. He is going to expertly and intentionally prune you because he's the vine tender. He knows what you're capable of. He knows what you can do for his kingdom because he gifted you to do it. And he knows exactly how to prune you to elicit the growth response in you that's going to enable you to reach that potential. Every cut he makes has purpose. And we can lean on Paul's words in Romans 8:28 when he says, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. He's pruning you for his purposes, for his kingdom purposes. So when we're tempted to pull away from the vine, remember that we can trust the gardener. The second thing that I think is comforting is knowing that if you're being pruned, it probably means you're doing something right. And everybody likes being right. Everybody likes being told they're right. Mark and I just had this conversation on the way home the other night, didn't we? I bet you can guess that one of us is more right than the other most of the time. I didn't have a Mark joke, so I had to throw that in. But if you're being pruned, Jesus said, if you're dead and unfruitful, you're getting cut off the plant. But if you're being fruitful, you're going to be pruned. So if you're going through a season of pruning, understand that that pruning is really a reward. It's something that we can celebrate because God sees that you have been useful in his kingdom and he wants you to continue to grow so that you can continue to be used for that kingdom purpose. So take comfort in knowing that if you're being pruned, it probably means that you're doing something right. And then the last thing that I think is comforting is knowing that pruning means growth. We prune to create growth in that plant. When you're pruning a plant, the most vigorous growth that you're going to see in the life of that plant is going to be immediately after that pruning takes place. And your spiritual life is no exception to that. When you are being pruned, the most vigorous spiritual growth that you're going to experience is going to be on the end of that pruning, on the backside of that pruning. And that's exactly what we should all be striving for. So if we're being pruned, it means that we're growing, and it means that we are being useful in the kingdom. But also, I think Jesus wants us to understand that if we remain in him through this pruning, then there are rewards that we're going to be able to reap. I think that's number four. Four puns? Thanks, Morgan. So Jesus says, when you remain in me, you can reap the rewards. In verse 5, he says, I'm the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So the first reward that we can reap is that we are going to be fruitful for the kingdom. Those heading back cuts that we make on our plants make the plant fuller and stronger and healthier, and it allows the plant to produce more fruit. So when we go through those seasons of pruning and experience that spiritual growth that comes from that pruning, it enables us to bear more fruit. It makes our faith and our relationship with Jesus fuller and stronger and healthier and more capable of producing even more fruit than he's led us to produce in the past. But make sure that you note, Jesus has said this a couple times, we can't do it without remaining in him. Apart from him, we can do nothing. So the first reward that we can reap is being fruitful for the kingdom. The second one is kind of an anti-reward, the way that it's written, but when you flip it around, it makes sense. In verse 6, Jesus says, if you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. So if you don't remain, you're going to be cut off, and you're going to be cast into the fire. But if we flip that around, what's the opposite of that? The opposite is that if you do remain, then you're going to experience eternal life. Because you will remain connected to the true vine, who is eternal. Jesus is outside of time. He was the beginning, the middle, the end. He is at all times, at all places. He is eternal. And as long as we are connected to him, then we have that eternal life in him. And that's a pretty big reward, I would say. The third reward, Jesus says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Now, I think this one trips people up because they think, yes, I have produced fruit. I've done what God asked me to do. Now I'm going to get everything I ever wanted. Where's my Lamborghini? But that's not exactly what this means. God will grant your desires when you ask him, but it's not because you suddenly deserve it. It's because you are so firmly and deeply connected with God. And you know his word. You know his truth. You know his character and his desires. And you trust so fully that his way is the best way. It's kind of like when you spend so much time with somebody that you can complete each other's sentences. Like in about 3 seconds, Randy's going to say 10-4. Many talents. You spend so much time with God that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you want what he wants because what he wants is what's best for you. And that's what we all want. Your desires become the same as his. And so Jesus says, ask for what you wish and it will be done for you because what you'll be asking for is God's will. And God was going to do that anyway. But now you get to reap the reward of knowing that you're also getting your own way. And who doesn't like that? The last reward in verse 8, Jesus says, this is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. When we bear fruit, we are showing the world who Jesus is and that we are his disciples. Jesus said a couple chapters earlier, by this everyone will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. So if we're out in the world using the gifts that he has given us to love and to serve one another, then we're producing fruit. And if we're producing fruit, then we can expect that we're going to be pruned. And if we're pruned, we're going to grow. And if we grow, then we're going to produce more and more fruit. And the more glory God is going to get from that. Ultimately, the result of all of this is that we get to glorify God. Us, as little insignificant people on this earth. We're a blip in time compared to the King of the universe who is eternal. But we, with our little insignificant lives, get to glorify God. But here's the thing. In verses 5 through 8, you see a lot of ifs. If means you have a choice. If you remain, if you stay connected, if you keep his word in your heart. If means you have a choice. So everybody here today has a choice. You can choose to be cut off. Or you can choose to remain through those seasons of pruning. You can choose to keep growing. So my encouragement to everyone here today, and especially to our seniors, is to choose to keep growing. When you're being pruned, choose to remain. Choose to spend time with God in prayer, in his word. Choose to do things that are going to build you up in your spiritual life. Choose to come and be a part of the Rooted series this summer. Choose to attend a table gathering. Choose to come and be here at church on Sunday morning. Prioritize being with him and growing with him because that is what empowers you to be able to produce fruit. That is what empowers you to be able to glorify the God of the universe. And there's no way that you can do it without being connected to him. And when we all make that choice, when we all choose to grow, whether it's our children who are over in children's church, whether it's our youth who hopefully know a little bit more about plants now, whether it's our seniors in high school or seniors in coffee shops or anywhere in between, when we choose to continue to grow, we become the church that Christ always wanted us to be. We become the church that the world around us desperately needs. We become the church that doesn't just talk about Jesus, but the church that is the body of Christ that is out serving as the hands and feet of Jesus until he's able to return. And we need everyone to help us be that church. So I want to end a little bit different. Worship team, you're off the hook. I'm sorry, we always cut that song. It's such a good song. But I want to end a little bit different today. We're all going to go through seasons of growth. But I feel like, especially for our seniors, they're embarking on a whole new chapter. They're embarking on adulthood, which, by the way, is not what it's cracked up to be. Surprise! But as you are going out and you're making choices and you are trying to choose the best path, remember that your best path is to be in that true vine, to remain in that true vine, and to allow him to lead you. So I'd like our seniors to come back up one more time. They're like, this was not in the script. And families of seniors, if you would like to come up here with them, you're welcome to. And if you're in your seats, then maybe you just reach out towards them today. But I want to pray over them before we go.